Well, good morning, friends. This is David Bowler. I want to welcome you back to Gospel Dynamite on Tuesdays. And we're studying the wonderful Word of God. I have the privilege of being one of your speakers for Gospel Dynamite. And I've been given the privilege by Brother Tommy to minister to you on Tuesdays, and I thoroughly enjoy it. Sue and I are doing a whole lot of things, traveling all over America, preaching the gospel, writing newspaper articles for Phil Smith's newspapers all over America, radio broadcasts, track and book distribution, and just an opportunity to use our lives for Jesus, to be a testimony for Christ. And I appreciate your prayers for both of us. Sue's teaching women's Bible studies, and when we go into a church, she'll do the ladies. We'll usually have all the men in one session, all the ladies in another. Sue will teach all the ladies. I'll teach all the men, and then I'll preach the Sunday morning, Sunday night, and enjoy the time within the Word of God, seeing a lot of people saved, altars full. The Holy Spirit of God is a blessing. I give Him glory to use an old sinner like me. And let us use our lives for the glory of God. And I know I sent your prayers, and I thank the Lord for you, and pray the Lord will bless you and use your life. And we want to continue to pray for WDYN, that God will bless it. You know, I'm really praying with Brother Tommy on the project, and Tommy's working and putting the details together. And we're looking and making a list of people that love the station that would say, I'd like to invest in that. Sue and I are going to invest in it. It's part of our spiritual portfolio. You invest. You occupy till God comes, and you take what God has given you, and you put it in a source that's going to bear fruit for the Lord. I can't think of a better one in this station that 24 hours a day is preaching the gospel, singing about Jesus, and just wonderful things for the Lord. All right, we're looking now at part two of the millennial. As you know, we've been studying, if this is your first time with us, we've been doing a long series, starting with the second coming of Jesus, a study of the rapture. Then we did a study on the new bodies of the believer. That was interesting. And then the judgment seat of Christ. After the rapture, we get our new bodies. Then we go and are judged by the Lord for our works, not for our sin. We've been washed in the blood. That was judged on Calvary's cross and put away as far as the east is from the west. Then we looked at our future home after the judgment seat of Christ, the new Jerusalem, and the description of this wonderful city. And then we looked at the new heaven and the new earth and how God's going to change the new earth. And then we started last week on living in the millennium, because when Jesus Christ comes back in the revelation, we will come with him. And then when he sets up the millennial reign, we'll be part of his ruling structure. Well done, you good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. Now I'll make you ruler over many. And so we looked at the doctrine of the millennial kingdom of God on this earth. And one of the major revelations of the scripture pertaining to God's program. Let me begin and read again Revelation 20, 1 through 6 to you, and watch where it's mentioned, the thousand-year reign, which is the millennium, okay? It, chapter 20, verse 1, and I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand, and he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. And what'd he do? He cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up, locked him up, set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed for a season. I saw thrones and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. That's us. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, those who were during the tribulation period, those that were martyred, and which had not worshipped the beast nor his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. So those of us coming out of the church age and these coming out of the tribulation period. But the rest of the dead live not again until 1,000 years were finished. Now, these are the unsaved. They're in hell right now, and they're not going to be brought up until the white throne judgment. We'll talk about that next week. This is the first resurrection God's talking about. And hallelujah, that's us. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So we're going to be priests. We rule and reign with the Lord. I told you last week the song Joy to the Lord was not a Christmas song. It was a millennial song. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing. The last verse said, he rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness and wonders of his love. Now, the millennium will be a foretaste of the heavenly state that's going to follow. But as we said last week, millennium comes from the compound Latin word mille, which means 1,000, annum, which means years. Now, breaking down our outline, last week we looked in deep detail about the views of the millennium. We talked about post-millennialism. Word post means after. They believe the second coming of Christ will come after the millennium. A Unitarian pastor named David Whitby originated this view in 1680s in England. He had been an Anglican priest, but he wrote a treaty that he believed Adam's sin was not passed down to the next generation. He didn't believe all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He was probably the father of humanism, but at least a seed layer of it. He was defrocked, which means he was taken out of his role, and his ability to be a pastor for the Anglican Church was removed from him. But their view is that the gospel will saturate the world. It will radically transform mankind. And because mankind has no depraved nature, it'll get better and better and better. The earth will become a utopia of peace, prosperity, universal worship of Jesus. And this will bring the Messiah. And that he will come, and then he will start the millennium where he'll reign on the earth. But the Bible doesn't say that. Things are going to wax worse and worse. Perilous times are going to come. Post-millennialism kind of dropped out after World War I, and all the no peace, all the havoc and the terrible thing. But it's the basis of this. Things like Darwinism and those who believed this philosophy, the theory of evolution, that things are evolving, things get better and better, but that's not true. God says things are wearing out like a garment. The world's wearing out. And we saw last week it's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. So that's post-millennialism. They think Jesus will come after the millennial reign when things get better and better. Then there's the amillennialist. The letter A means no in Greek, just like amoral means no morals. Amillennialism means no millennium. They don't even believe there will be a millennium. Of course, what are you going to do with the scripture? Of course, one of their philosophies, and let me just remind you again, the early church was premillennial. The church fathers, Papias, wrote about premillennialism and Christ, Irenaeus, Justus the Martyr, Tertullian, all of their writings. But it was amillennialism came out of the Alexandrian school, influenced by Greek philosophers who incorporated Aristotle, Socrates, Plato, all of these into the church. It greatly influenced Augustine in 380 A.D. He greatly influenced the Catholic Church, those that were trained under Catholicism. He believed we were already in the millennium, that Christ was already bound, that Jesus would come within the 1,000-year period. And so Herbert W. Armstrong came out of this philosophy. Used to have the worldwide radio broadcast The World Tomorrow, remember? And was the basis of the issue of many others of replacement theology that set the Jews aside. And that's why there was such a hatred for the Jew. Even the Catholic Church didn't stand for the Jew during World War II. And so amillennialists were no friends of the Jew. They saw no part for them and called them Christ killers. So there's postmillennialism, amillennialism, and then premillennialism. Pre means before. It teaches the second coming of Jesus to the earth will happen before the 1,000-year reign, and he will set the 1,000-year reign of Christ up. Now, Satan's bound for 1,000 years, and then he's released at the end of the 1,000-year reign of Christ. But that 1,000 years, Jesus Christ will rule. Okay? And I won't reiterate a lot of the other things we talked about, but let me just kind of review with you real quick the four purposes of the millennial. Why does God do this? Why establish the 1,000-year reign of Christ? Number one was to reward the people of God. Remember, the Bible says in Matthew 25, "Well done, you good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. Now I will make you ruler over many." So this reward is different from the Bema reward, just established out of the Bema, the crowns and the other rewards. But our position of how we will rule and reign depends upon our faithfulness of how we have occupied and lived and served the Lord Jesus Christ and invested his talents to touch the world. And so part of it is a reward of the people of Almighty God that we'll reign and rule with the Lord. The second is to fulfill the word of the God-given prophecies given to the Old Testament prophets. Without the millennial being fulfilled literally, many of these prophecies would be unleft. Now remember, the amillennialists allegorized these truths, but the Bible says what it means and means what it says. Psalm 72:11 says, "All kings shall fall down before him, and all nations shall serve him." And they will during the millennial. They haven't yet, but they will then. Isaiah 9:7, "The government shall be upon his shoulders." Isaiah 60:21, "God will restore the land of Israel." They'll have all the land that God promised them. Egypt, Syria, Lebanon, Jordan, West Bank of Gaza, Iraq, most of Saudi Arabia. Isaiah 9:10, "Peace will reign on the earth during the Lord's reign." And all these wonderful prophecies that God talks about at this time. This is the kingdom the apostles were expecting when Jesus first came. When they asked him in Acts 1:6, "Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel?" So, one, to reward the people of God. Two, to fulfill the word of God given to the prophets. Three, to answer the Lord's prayer. "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." This will be answered. It will come. And then fourth, and we'll get into this now, we stopped here last week, is to reemphasize man's depravity. That the people that are on the millennial, other than those of us who have been born again, who have been raptured, are resurrected from the dead with new natures and new life in Christ. The people on earth, they come into the earth with their fallen nature, unsaved. And that's part of our job is going to be to get the gospel to them so they can be saved. But as we saw, Satan was bound for 1,000 years. In verse 3, it says, "At the end of the millennial, he will be loosed for a season." Now, this is interesting. Why? Why would God do that? The human beings that have been born on the earth is repopulated over this 1,000-year period. Longevity of life has been restored. We'll talk about that a little later. But these human beings born on the earth during this time are born with Adam's sinful nature. Each generation is made up of sinners who need to be saved. And that'll be part of our job on the earth, is to get the gospel out, to teach Jesus to them. But many, amazingly, will not come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Many, many, many will. But amazingly, despite the rule of Jesus Christ, despite the moral society and influence, despite the proclamation of Jesus Christ worldwide, despite the fact that Satan is bound, millions will turn and millions will follow the wicked one, old Satan. When Satan is released, it's going to be a time of testing that all mankind has faced. Otherwise, people would stand at the judgment seat, the white throne judgment of Christ, and say, "It's not fair. I was born during the millennium. There was no Satan." You'd think that would be an advantage to him, but he could say, all these other people, they face temptation and all of these other things, and that person that lived while we're alive stood at the white throne judgment and say, "Lord, it's not fair. if there wouldn't have been a devil and I wouldn't have been tempted, if you would have reigned on the earth, I'd be saved. I would have trusted you. It's not fair. You're not equitable. You're not fair, God, because these people, they were never tempted by Satan. They didn't face that temptation. But when Satan is released, friends, it'll be a time of testing that all humans that have been born on the earth have a choice to make. And amazing, I can't hardly believe this. It just reiterates again, it's not environment, it's not education, it's not family, your birthright or position. Look at your Bible. Revelation chapter 20, verse 7. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth. So he's released now, and he goes out to tempt the world. Gog and Magog, together, together, to battle, the number of whom is the sand of the sea. He's going to take one more shot at trying to overcome the Lord. And they went up on the breast of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about, that's us, and the beloved city, the new holy Jerusalem. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever. And then we go right to, and we'll look at this next week, I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away. There was no place found for them. But see, folks, this demonstrates again, as I said, it's not the family you're raised in. It's not the environment. It's not education. It's training. It's the heart of man. It's the power of the gospel to touch the heart and the soul. Now, when he talks about the battle in Gog and Magog, this is not much of a battle. It's an execution. God speaks and boom, their forces are destroyed. Fire comes down out of heaven. Then we move right into the white throne judgment. We're moving to the eternities of the eternity. So, number one, the three perspectives of the millennium, that is post-and premillennialism. The purpose of the millennium, we looked at these four things. Now, this is interesting. We'll enjoy this. What will life be like on the earth during the millennial for us and those that are born there? Number one, it'll be a time of world peace. That's the only time. We hear these people talking about peace. The Bible says they're saying peace, peace, when there is no peace. There will be no peace in this world until the Prince of Peace comes. All these people trying to solve the problem of the Arabs' hatred for the nation of Israel, Satan's behind that. He hates the nation of Israel. There's never going to be any peace in that area. We need to stand with Israel. God says he prospers those that pray for Israel. He blesses those who love Israel. We as a nation, I'm thankful that our president's doing that, but we need to bring the, I know it, people in the world don't like that. If I were the president, I would bring the capital city of Israel back to Jerusalem right now. But it'll be a time of world peace. It'll take more than the UN, as you know, to bring peace. And Jeremiah 6:14 and the New Testament, where they're crying, peace, peace, there is no peace. Peace talks, all of these other things. Now, we ought to try to live by peace, but peace comes when the Prince of Peace comes. He's the one that will bring this peace. Amen? And I'm saying, even so, come, Lord Jesus. And I know you're doing the same thing, praying. Chapter 2, the Bible says of Isaiah, and many people should go and say, come ye and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths, for out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. That's what's happening during the millennial reign of the Lord. And he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. So you see, that'll stop it. During the millennium, there's no military budgets. There's no war for 1,000 years. Even the animal kingdom will change, as we're told in Isaiah chapter 11 and verses 6 through 9. This is amazing. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 6. The leopard shall lie down with the kid, the little lamb, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them. Apparently we go back like it was in the days where the animals eating grass rather than flesh. And the cow and the bear shall feed, and the young ones shall lie down together, the cow and the bear. And the lion shall eat straw like an ox, God says. So they're eating the grass and a vegetarian. And the suckling child shall play on the hole of the asp, the rattlesnake, and the python, and the poison snakes. And the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den, the poison snake. They shall not hurt nor destroy it in my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. So it's going to be a time of world peace. Amazing, amazing time. Number two, it'll be a time of great prosperity. Of great prosperity. It'll be an economic time like we've never seen before on the earth. Nobody will go to bed hungry. There'll be no hunger in the world. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 34, this great prophetic book of the end times, and he says in verse 23, "And I will set up one shepherd over them. He shall feed them, even my servant David. And he shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd." Now, he's talking about prophesying of the Lord Jesus Christ, "And I, the Lord, will be their God. And my servant David, a prince among them, I, the Lord, have spoken, and I will make them a covenant of peace, and will cause the evil beast to cease out of the land." Not going to worry about them lions eating us up. "They shall dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. And I will make them and the places around about my hill a blessing. And I will cause the shower to come down in his season, and there will be showers of blessings." Not going to be any droughts. Not going to be any lack of water for crops. "And the tree of the field shall yield her fruit, and the earth shall yield her increase, and they shall be safe in their land, and shall know that I am the Lord, when I have broken the bands of their yoke and delivered them out of the hand of those that serve themselves of them." So God says it's going to be a wonderful time of prosperity. Amos 9:3 says, "And the plowman shall overtake the reaper." The crops are going to be so wonderful and that they'll be harvesting and plowing, replanting right behind one another. Isaiah chapter 35, verses 1 and 2 talk about this again. The great prosperity in the nation during this period of time. And praise the Lord. Amen. Now, the third reason, the third blessing is it will be a time of purity and righteousness that God tells us about. And as we praise the Lord and honor the Lord in his goodness, and he says in chapter 35 of Isaiah, verses 8 through 10, "And a highway shall be there, and a way it should be called the way of holiness." Look at that. Wouldn't that be something? We don't see that so much sinfulness in the world today. "The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. And they shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away." So during the millennium, sin will be subdued and dealt with righteously. The Lord's kingdom will be filled with holiness. Isaiah 11:9, "The earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the Lord." Won't that be something? Zechariah 13:2, "I will cut off all idols from the land." There'll be no false religions. There'll be no Islam. There'll be no Hinduism. It's going to be Jesus and the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The Bible says in Zechariah that even the pots and pans will be stamped, not with made in China, but holiness unto the Lord during that part of time. Because, see, people are going to repopulate the earth. They're going to come from all over the world to see the Lord and to worship him and to praise him and to honor his holy name. Zechariah chapter 8 talks about this. Listen, let me read it to you. "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, it shall come to pass that there shall come people and inhabitants of many cities, from all the cities that have been established around the world, and the inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, here's the role of the Jew during the millennium. Let us go speedily to pray before the Lord and to seek the Lord of hosts. I will go also. And we'll be doing the gospel. The Jewish nation will be doing the gospel. Yea, many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and to pray before the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. Isn't that something? So God has a purpose and a plan, and God will use them during the millennial, along with all of us that are already eternal. Number four, it'll be a time of long life again. We know people lived in the Old Testament up to 900 years plus before the flood, and it declined because of the curse of sin to 70 in our day. In fact, the age of accountability, this is amazing. The age of accountability where you will be judged is 100 years old. A youth is 100 years old. You're like a teenager, and there's growing room for you. Listen, Isaiah 65:20, there shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not fulfilled his days. You're going to live out the whole period. For the child should die 100 years old. And we'll find out why in a minute. But the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. The age of accountability is 100 years old during the millennial. And then he goes on saying, they shall build and inhabited houses, and they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit thereof. And listen, it says, and they shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat, for as the days of a tree are the days of my people, like an oak tree. And mine elect shall long enjoy the works of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble, for they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and are offspring with them. And it shall come to pass, before they call, I'll answer. And while they're yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lion shall feed together. The wolf and the lamb, the lion shall eat straw like a bullock. The dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt or destroy in my whole mountain, saith the Lord. What a wonderful thing. So people are going to live to be almost 1,000 years old, or 1,000 years old again. Man's tried to discover the fountain of youth, but to no avail. But during the millennium, the longevity is restored. Now let me close real quick. Time's up again. How fast it goes. Number five, it's going to be a time of great joy. Because the Lord reigns, you and I are going to rejoice as eternal beings there with the Lord. His justice keeps life in balance. Many of the sorrows are removed. Isaiah 14:7, the whole earth is at rest and all is quiet. They break forth into singing. Old Tripp, my youngest grandson, he loves to sing. Just happy, just singing and whistling all the time. It gets on some people's nerves. I enjoy it. Imagine going to a big ball game at the University of Tennessee, 108,000 people, and folks start busting out singing Amazing Grace. Now, I know that's a stretch, but all over praise. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, our role as eternal beings, like the Lord Jesus Christ, we've been raptured. We have eternal life. We have new bodies. We have new minds. We've already been to the judgment seat of Christ. We're married to the Lamb. We're the royal bride of Christ. We came with him at the Battle of Armageddon. We're eternal beings, no longer like the human beings. But now we're rulers of nations and cities. We judge the world, as the Scripture says in 1 Corinthians 6:2-3. We worship and serve our Lord. We teach the population of the world the gospel. We sing and praise the Lord with our harps and glorify him. We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Friend, do you know him? Do you know him? If not, your eternity will be the lake of fire, not the wonderful blessing that's ahead of us. Friend, come to Jesus. Come and serve him and trust him. Well, I went a little over today, but I pray God encourages you and blesses you for the future that's in front of us. Next week, we're going to look at the white throne judgment and what's going to occur after the millennial and the white throne judgment and the judgment of lost and sinful, rebellious man. And we'll look at that as we move into the eternities. Again, thank you for the privilege of sharing with you. This is David Bowler, and it's my prayer that the Lord will richly, richly bless you.